Okay, it is October 2nd, 2017. Josh, it is the most wonderful time of the year. That stupid song says it's about Christmas, but that song is wrong. Playoff baseball is about to start.
Finally.
Finally. So what we're gonna do for all seven of our awesome loyal fans, is we're going to tell you exactly what to look for in every playoff series coming up for this entire October. And while this first episode isn't about a series, it's about a one-game playoff. Feel like you kind of still have to do it. So tonight we're going to tell you what's exactly is going to happen with the Yankees and the Twins. Josh, first, let's give a brief breakdown of who these teams are and how it is they got here. Do you want to do the Twins or the Yankees?
I can start with the Twins. I think they're the
Hit
more
me.
interesting case here. As we all know, if you follow, you've probably heard by now, the Twins are the first team to make the playoffs, quote unquote, this one game wild card, to make the playoffs after losing 100 games the previous year. And what's interesting about it is, not really that much changed. They underperformed last year, and as you'll see a little bit later, they overperformed this year. But it's an interesting team. I think, it was kind of surprised that they got there. But at the same time, when you look at some of the people that are running out in the lineup and then the top of the rotation, there's kind of a reason why they're there. Like Ervin Santana, Berríos, our favorite, Bartolo Colon, Big Sexy.
Big Sexy!
But along with the lineup that has a Byron Buxton that has shown some life and is like just taken off in the second half, along with Max Kepler and Brian Dozier, who's doing his best imitation of 2016 Brian Dozier, where he just hits all the home runs he can in the second half. Along with the guys like Miguel Sano and Joe Mauer, who are just great hitters that add to the lineup. So it's a team that, while I think at the beginning of the season it made sense why everybody was kind of down on them, it's also, after watching the entirety of the year, it's not that crazy that they were able to make it here, especially playing in the American League. But, we'll skip over that point.
Yeah, and they'll be matching up against a pretty interesting Yankee team. I'll be honest, this Yankee team, if they were literally any team but the Yankees, I would be all about them. They are exciting and young and really, really talented. Well, some of them are. This is they've got a mix of young home run hitters, power hitters, in Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez, who will be able to anchor this lineup for a long time. And Gary Sanchez, I think he's going to be the best player on this Yankees team 3 years from now, because he's got so much skill as a defensive catcher to go along with his offensive profile. But I digress. They also have their traditional mix of underpaid and overperforming veterans in Didi Gregorius and Starlin Castro from time to time.
And Jacoby
And
Ellsbury, right? Right?
right.
Right?
And I was just about to say their traditional smattering, like a little bit of seasoning of vastly overpaid, underperforming veterans. Guys like Ellsbury, guys like Brett Gardner, guys like Todd Frazier. Although Todd Frazier has become an interesting piece to this lineup. And starting for them tomorrow night will be another young gun because their rotation has really pulled it together this year. Luis Severino, who is basically been, I don't know, the third or fourth best pitcher in the American League this year. And they have absolutely, at least on paper, the best bullpen in baseball. So this team hits home runs, gets out to leads early, and then locks it down around the sixth inning. It's in the modern age of baseball, when we're talking about launch angles and hard hit balls and reliever usage in terms of being able to protect a lead, the Yankees are about as modern as it gets.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing I wanted to mention. It's kind of how interesting is this Yankee transformation? I mean, this is a team that held on to Derek Jeter for what seemed like eternity past his, you know, actual valuable stage, and was basically playing the game of the past, you know, signing the free agents and just going out there and trying to buy world championships. But I mean, when you look at this team up, this team and its lineup now, I mean, you got a bunch of young guys who are going to strike out a bunch, but hit the ball a ton, especially playing in that stadium where they got that jet stream. But then you also have a rotation that's just full of young, hard throwing arms. That can just attack you with these just like high 90s fastballs. And then, of course, you know, the biggest thing that we've seen in the game recently over the past few years is just the emergence of like having these like God level bullpens where you just have arm after arm after arm who can come out here and just shut down the opposing lineup and basically just like, you know, like you said, shorten games to about six inning affairs. And hopefully, you know, if you don't have the lead by then, you're probably not going to get it.
Yeah, one thing I would like to mention is, though, one of the constant refrains from some of our favorite media outlets, such as the venerable ESPN, has been that these are not your father's Yankees or things of the like. They're like, different now. They're younger. But the truth is, these are exactly our father's Yankees. You know what I mean? Like, what is the Yankees' famous nickname? They're the Bronx Bombers. That's exactly true. Who these kids are. These are this same classic Yankees of old. They're just young and hungry and...
you know what the difference is, right?
Better.
I mean, the difference between the Yankees now and in the past is the fact that, you know, these are the same guys the Yankees would have drafted, but instead of trying to trade them for proven veterans, they went ahead and decided to develop them. I mean, the Yankees Right. could have done this easily with some of the other talent they've had in their pipeline for, you know, almost decades now. It's just the difference of instead of using them as trade pieces, they decided, hey, we'll actually build our own core since that's the new rage. And guess what? What do you know? It's working out for them.
And you know what? It's not like this is old to the Yankees, or it's not like this is new to the Yankees. You know, when they built their previous dynasty, what happened? They had the core four of Jeter, Bernie Williams, Jorge Posada, and Andy Pettit, who they developed from within their farm system.
Exactly.
Right now, they're only at three. They've also got Greg Bird, who's spent a lot of time injured, so he hasn't really broken out. They've got Austin Meadows, who's one of the better players and better prospects in baseball, but he hasn't really broken out. So they're still kind of waiting for that fourth member of their quote-unquote core four, new core four. But anyway, we digress. Josh, let's talk about this matchup a little bit. It seems to me, at least, that this is it seems to be heavily in the Yankees' favor. I mean, the Twins are kind of this plucky team of destiny, and the Yankees are a legitimate playoff contender. And they're playing at home, and they hit a lot of home runs as a team, and they're playing in an incredibly home run friendly stadium. They have the better pitcher on the mound. This all seems to be a lot in the Yankees' favor here.
But let me jump in because the Twins will be throwing out Mr. Irvin Santana, Mr. Smell Baseball himself. They will be throwing Irvin Santana to go out and face this new incarnation of the Bronx Bombers. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. When you look at his stuff and when you look at his stats, Santana's basically been like an average pitcher to slightly above average pitcher for most of his career. But the one thing he's done an incredible job of doing is just outperforming his peripherals. Like he, for the last 7 years, has consistently just been better than his FIP would suggest he's supposed to be. for whatever reason, this is a guy who doesn't get a great spin rate on his fastball. I think it's like a few hundred revolutions below. I'm sorry, a few tens. It's right around average for the MLB starters. And this is a guy who, you know, doesn't have a great fastball velocity. You know, he has a slider that's his basically his off-speed pitch. He has a changeup. He doesn't really use it that much. It's not a very strong pitch for him. So it's a guy who you just, you know, he has this ability to command and limit contact. His exit velocity is right around average. He has this ability to kind of prevent giving up home run balls. I mean, when they come for him, they do come in bunches. But for the most part, he's able to kind of prevent being hit too hard to where there's damage. So, you know, we're talking about a one-game sample here. That's the fun part about the wild card. We're talking about just, you know, one chance at it. It's very possible that Santana could go out there and, you know, throw 6 to 7 shutout innings and, you know, give his team a chance to get up early on the Yankees.
You know, and it's not just Santana. You know, the Twins have been charging the entire second half. I mean, they have a lot of guys, you know, Byron Buxton especially, has really turned into a much closer version to the prospect that was projected than the player he's performed like in the first couple seasons of his career. So
the prince who was promised.
The prospect that was promised. the Twins are a much better team than I think their record indicates. But then again, they also might not be. They did lose 100 games last year with basically the same group of guys.
Right. I mean, I think it's one of those where, like, these guys are better than we initially gave them credit for, but at the same time, they were still sitting there fighting in the logjam with the rest of the American League, you know, the Mariners, the Royals, the Angels, all the other teams that were in the hunt for the second wild card slot, where the Yankees were able to kind of separate themselves and sit in that upper class of, right below the upper class of the Astros and the Indians and to a lesser degree the Red Sox. So when you look at it, you know, we're looking at one half of the contest right now, but when you look at the other half, you kind of see where the Yankees have the advantage with Severino going up against that lineup. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to exactly predict what's going to happen with a team going up against Severino because, like we said, he's been one of the better pitchers in baseball. He's got everything. I mean, his stuff is absolutely electric. He pitches in the upper 90s. He's got great movement, great spin rates. His command is at least above average.
I think he was fourth in the American League in OBP. I mean, people just don't get on base against him.
Right, yeah, 266 OBP against. The thing, you know, but you still get thrown. Like, he faced this Twins team a couple weeks ago, and he got chased in the third inning. So, I guess the thing you have to watch out for with Luis Severino is the fact that he is really young. And the young guys do tend to be less consistent.
Yep. And then also, I mean, he's a guy who throws hard. Playing in that park gives the opportunity for somebody to just find the fat part of the bat and put a ball in the stands, and then all of a sudden you're looking at a deficit that you're trying to come back from. I mean, you know, as we're probably going to keep mentioning because it's fun when you're looking at these matchups, it's a one-game sample set, and it's very plausible that Brian Dozier just decides to hit a two-run home run, and all of a sudden the Yankees have the battle.
Yeah. And I do like the Yankees coming from behind a lot more than I like the Twins. We already mentioned the Yankees have a virtually unhittable bullpen coming in with Cannell and Green and Betances and Chapman, all of whom can blow hitters away with their high heat stuff.
Squad.
The hashtag Penn Squad. Anyway, we're about 15 minutes into the podcast now. Josh, what are the people going to look for in the game tonight? Key number one, you would say?
I think key number one is look to see how effective Urban Santana is up in the zone. See if he tries to go up there. I mean, we've kind of been talking about how the pitcher's new best friend is actually a high fastball. He doesn't really get good spin rate, as we mentioned before, so it's not like he gets great ride on his fastball. But if he's able to go up there and get some of these guys to swing under and just make bad contact, I think he has a very good chance of limiting the potency of the Yankees lineup.
Right, and you know, we mentioned like how he's been kind of average, and he's been kind of like how he's kind of average stuff, and he's basically outperformed his peripherals for most of his career. But I think he is very good at one thing. You know, we mentioned Luis Severino was very good at keeping guys off base. And yep. When we were looking at those stats, we noticed that Severino was also really good at keeping guys from hitting the ball hard against him. His OPS against is second in the AL.
Yeah. Behind Kluber.
Severino's right near the top of the AL in on-base percentage against and OPS against. He's top 10 in both categories, and he's fourth in on-base percentage against. So even though he's kind of average stuff, he knows how to pitch, and he knows how to leverage his skills against opposing hitters.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think with Severino, part of the youngness that you have to worry about with him is, you know, let's say he gets into a tough situation, does he just try and out-talent the other guy? That's something that usually works for people when they're growing up. I mean, you know, Little League, high school, college, or even the minors for most people. Like, if you're the best player on the field, you can just kind of get away with, like, hey, I can just throw a fastball by him. But, like I said, like, home run park and you're facing major league hitters, you know, you got to make sure that you're able to make good pitches and not just try and sneak one by somebody. So, if there's anything to kind of watch is to see if what Severino does when he's behind in the count and see if he kind of, you know, trusts his off speed, trusts his location, or if he basically just starts to try and challenge guys.
Yeah, and that was one thing when I was looking at his breakdowns and what I've seen him this year. When he's behind in the count, he does tend to go more to that slider, which is, again, it's an average slider, but yep. He uses it well to change speeds and kind of keep hitters off balance. When he gets ahead in the count, he does tend to work more with that fastball up.
Right.
So I guess the better question would be, rather than how does Severino do with the fastball up, it would be how is Severino going to do at getting ahead in counts against these Yankee bats?
You mean twin bats?
Or yeah, Santana, not Severino. I've been saying Severino for a hot minute. How is Santana gonna do against at getting ahead of these counts against Yankee bats?
Oh man, yeah, you got me confused there. Yeah, no, for Santana, I mean, like, you're right. Like, he's not a dude who has a wipeout, out pitch, breaking ball, and his changeup isn't necessarily something that he likes to go to often. So it's kind of one of those where he has to pitch smart. He has to be in the zone. He can't really afford to just give up walks, but he at the same time can't afford to just give up gopher balls. So it's going to be one of those things where, like, you know, he needs to show off the prowess that has basically allowed him to survive in the league for the past few years with very average stuff, and that's his ability to make good pitches and good counts.
All right, and so I would say key to the game number two for our listeners to watch too. I'm out of a phrase. So the Yankees, if they're going to win, they're going to do it by hitting home runs. That's what they do. That's who they are. If the Twins are going to do it, they're going to have to, for lack of a better phrase, manufacture runs, get on base and drive in guys.
Yep.
So I would say key to the game for the Yankees, Luis Severino versus Twins leadoff hitters. They've got a lot of speed in this lineup. They can score from second and first with ease. If Luis Severino can get early outs and force the Twins to try to score without already having guys on base, to force them to try to advance runners with one out, with two outs, yep. The Yankees are going to be in a hugely advantageous position.
Right. I mean, I think the key is to kind of just keep the top three of the lineup for the Twins off. So, I mean, you're looking at Buxton. You're looking at Rosario. Not Rosario, excuse me.
Will Rosario be up there?
I'm blanking on the last name. Sorry. Let's see here.
The shortstop.
Yeah.
Polanco.
Polanco. Yeah. Okay. So Austin, let me go back.
Polanco.
Let me go back for it.
And Escobar.
Yep. I think. I mean, you basically want to look at those three guys, and if they're on the bases a lot, I mean, it's very easy for a professional hitter like Joe Mauer, who has been actually decently good, not anything special, but has been decently good this season, or for a Dozier, or even for somebody who has some serious pop like Sano, to be able to change the game with one swing. So, yeah, I would agree. It's going to be one of those where Severino's just going to have to try and get ahead, stay ahead.
Yeah, and he's been, like we mentioned, he's been really good. He's second in the AL in OPS against, behind only Corey Kluber. He's very good. He's fourth in the AL and on base percentage against. He's going to be a tough guy to score on.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Twins will have some confidence going in, as they get, again, they did chase him in three innings just a couple weeks ago. And so if the Twins do get on base and they do get an early lead and they do manufacture some runs, which we think is really the only way we can see this, the Twins winning this one, which is the Twins getting out to it early. You and I were talking, the real thing to watch for there will be, how does the Twins bullpen hold up against the Yankees?
Yeah, I think it's kind of interesting because, you know, obviously we lauded the Yankees bullpen and the amount of arms that they have in there that can just come in and just shut down a game, right? But, I mean, right, at the same time, the Twins bullpen has been not bad, you know, and they've actually been getting better as the season's progressed. They've been better in the second half. They have some interesting arms out there. I think the main guy that's been coming out for them to close has been Matt Belisle, who was originally with the Nats, and we know how the Nats bullpen was at the beginning of the season. But he's been better as of late. There's also a few other guys. Hildenberger is actually an interesting arm for me. He's kind of got like a sidearm delivery, but he actually comes up over the top sometimes to surprise hitters. And so he has the ability to come in and get ground balls and has done pretty well in high leverage situations recently. And so they have a couple arms where they might be able to go in and, you know, make big pitches and get outs. And like we said, you know, this is a one game sample. Like, they have the talent to be able to do it. It might not be as glaring of a hole as you think it might be, but I think another thing that we were talking about that was interesting was, you know, if the situation gets to it, do you expect to see maybe a Berrios or even a Bartolo Colon?
I'm not sure about so I've been going back and forth on this. I could definitely see a big sexy appearance as a reliever. I'm not sure it would be more effective than some of the guys in the bullpen, but you
right.
have to do what you have to do. I've been going back and forth on Berrios, right? On the one hand, if the Twins win the game, they need him to make a start in the DS.
Right.
And you don't want to fall behind to the Indians. If they go down 2-0 or 0-2 in a three-game series, there's not much help that a Berrios start is going to give them. I think you would see Berrios if they really had to, but I don't think they'd go to him unless they went to, like, extras.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about it is, when you watch these games and how they're played, it almost becomes bizarro baseball because you know, you do want to plan ahead and you do want to plan for the series in the event that you win, but you do have to make sure that you win first. I mean, we saw it last year, you know, we mentioned it a couple times. It'll probably haunt Buck Showalter and the Orioles for a while, but the idea of holding off somebody until the, you know, right time to use them or the optimal time to use them is probably not something that's a fashionable decision as much in baseball as it used to be when roles were much more defined. But, you know, those are two different situations because what you're looking at is the use of a closer, which is, you know, much easier to see somebody being flexible with, rather than using a potential starter for a future game, and having him come in and potentially having to stretch him out depending on how the early innings go. So, yeah, I think I'd agree with you. If you're going to make that sacrifice, you're probably going to end up doing it in extra innings or at least late in a game if it's tied. And, you know, just maybe use him for one inning to hopefully bring him back on 3 days rest. But otherwise, I think the arms that they have in their bullpen should be sufficient to be able to kind of keep them in the game and potentially hold the lead, especially if it's 2 to 3 runs.
Right. All right, Josh, it's about that time.
Predictions.
Predictions. Do you want to go first or should I go first?
I'll go first. Why not? I'll throw mine out there. So I am going to go bold and pick the Yankees to win. Yeah, no, I want to pick the Yankees to win. I want to pick the Yankees to win. I'm going to say that in the game, there's probably going to be 3 home runs hit, and I don't think Aaron Judge will hit any of them. That's my bold statement.
I, too, am going to go with the Yankees. I just think they're the better ball club, and they are built more like a team that can win a one-game playoff. They have they have players on that squad who, even if everybody else sucks, they come out and make big impacts and produce multiple runs. I say they win 3-0 on an Aaron Judge 3-run homer, and Luis Severino goes with a 7 innings of shutout baseball, and the only thing we hear ESPN talk about for a week, well, that's not true, for 3 days, will be how Aaron Judge single-handedly put the Yankees into the next round of the playoffs.
Yeah, well,
I think that's just going to happen.
I can tell you, whether we have the Yankees winning, whether the Yankees lose, whether he hits a home run or not, we will be hearing about Aaron Judge for a while, so don't hold your breath.
I might have to hold my breath just to get myself out of my misery. Anyway, I'll talk to you tomorrow night, Josh, so we can break down the Rockies and the Diamondbacks.
West Side?
West Side!
All right, buddy.
All right, I'll see you tomorrow night.